Good morning. And welcome to First Baptist Church. It's good to see all of you. And I don't know about you, but I did not expect to be wearing my fall boots this morning. Even with the weather being a bit chillier than we might have expected at this time of year and chillier than it was just a few days ago, we are still having our church picnic. It is still going to be outside. It will be at Almendinger Park. We will not be throwing water balloons. But I know. Those of you who have a special need to get freezing cold may fill some water balloons for yourselves, but the rest of us will not be doing our usual balloon toss. However, the rest of the picnic traditions that you have come to know and love and expect will be happening. And we hope to see you there. It's shortly after worship at noon. It is the kickoff to our church program year. And you can read all the things that are coming up this week and in the weeks beyond that are happening in the life of our church. Lots of great stuff going on, and we hope that you'll help us start off the new year at the picnic after the service. You can read the other announcements at your leisure. We do invite all of you at some point during the service this morning to fill out one of our connection cards, both the front and the back, and you can drop that in the offering plate when that comes by later in the service. The God of all love is among us, waiting, expectant. What about us? What are we waiting for? What are we expecting? Let's bring our hopeful hearts before the God of hope.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this church and this church family. Thank you for their willingness to accept anyone with open arms who knocks at the door, no matter their appearance or behavior. Help us all be willing to help anyone in need, whether it is shelter, food, drink, or medical attention. Teach us to be your love in the world. Amen. you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame.
Help me to know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation, for I wait all day long.
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous and blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, you are merciful and mighty. You are good and gracious. You are beautiful. You are holy. You are the source of all we seek and of all we need and of all that we can be and become. We praise you, we thank you, and we reach out to you in hope, asking that you help us to receive all that you want to give, and that you help us to live all that you have shown us. With open hearts, we pray for our world. We pray for the poor and for the poor in spirit. We pray for the oppressed and the dispossessed. We pray for the addicted and the angry. We pray for those who live with violence or the threat of violence. We pray for children and for all those responsible for caring for them, teaching them, or raising them. Help us, your church, to extend your loving care to all. In these moments, we have particular people we trust to your care. We pray for Wilma Duke, Nancy Rushton, Lynn Blunt, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Colin Campbell, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nae Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Rebecca Levinson, Mark Seiler, Ron Scott, for Curtis, for Katie, for the family of Richard Bates, and for Pat Murphy. We also offer you our private prayers in silence now. Praise to you, abundant God, for when we ask, you give. When we seek, you show the way. When we knock, you answer. Help us to recognize our own poverty, our own need, our own vulnerability, that we might then recognize that you are the gift, you are the way, you are the answer. Now make us bold to live by your power and in the richness of your love, as we pray in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of James. My brothers and sisters, do your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, Have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor say, Stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the children to come on up as we for time as children. Did you all go back to school this week? Yeah. Some of us have been back for a little bit. Some of us started last week, and today we start church school again for the year in our classes by age, and it's so exciting. It's an exciting time. When Andrew was reading the psalm, he read about some words about asking God to show us God's way, to teach us how to be. Calling us students, really, right? We're God's students, and we're followers of Jesus. We're disciples, too. Did you know that disciples means student, follower, listener to a teacher? So we're disciples of Jesus, just like we know the stories of Jesus' disciples. And we do some important learning, like we go to math centers, and we check out how patterns work, which help us understand God's world. And we ask questions in the scientific method. And we learn how to find answers to our questions. We do all kinds of important learning. We do group work. That's always a challenge sometimes, isn't it? We learn how to work in groups, whether we're in a big boat on a crew team, like the Duke boys. Or if we're on recess and we're working to play a game all together, we got to do group work there too. We're doing all these things as students and followers of Jesus. It's all good work to do. When we're at school and when we're at church, when we're at home, it's all about being followers and learning Jesus' way. So today, we would like to bless you. The congregation is going to bless you as students, pray a little prayer over you. Some of you maybe brought your backpacks. We all brought our brains. Thank goodness. So in a second, we're going to pray this blessing on you, and I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your head when we get to that little blessing prayer. Congregation, you'll see in your bulletin a response, and we're going to pray for groups of people. We've got you kiddos who are learning, and then we're going to pray and bless this teenagers, and we're going to pray and bless over all of our teachers, our professors. So I'm going to ask that you guys stand up, and I'm going to pray that we're going to pray that blessing over you. You as disciples of Jesus, everywhere where you're learning. So I have some words I'm going to say, and then congregation, you're going to do that first paragraph response that's about learning. Your church family believes that each of you is a precious gift from God. Oh, yeah. Put your hands on your head. Yep. You're right. We pray that you will find joy and wonder in your learning. May God bless you and your backpacks, that they may develop hearts that care and minds that seek to understand God's world.
Children to be seated, and for our middle schoolers and high schoolers to stand up, please. All right, we've got some up in the choir, too. To our youth, your church family believes that each of you is a gift from God, filled with potential and possibility. We pray that you will have curious minds and compassionate hearts, that you will have courage in the face of peer pressure, and that you will have a faith that finds concrete expression in your daily lives. May God bless these youth, that they may grow in wisdom and in truth. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of learning. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come. You may be seated. And now I invite all of our undergraduate college students and our graduate students to stand, please. Some of you may be far from home, but this church family embraces you as its own. We pray that you will have open minds and faithful hearts, that you will find peace and wisdom in the face of competing demands and challenges, and that you will know that you are loved. May God bless these students in their ongoing quest for knowledge and truth, that they may become more fully like Christ in thought, word, and deed. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of learning. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come. You may be seated. Now I invite all of our educators, teachers, administrators, whatever level, whatever you teach, if you work in a system of education of any kind, that includes if you homeschool anything, please stand so we can bless you also. Every day, you stand alongside learners of all ages, offering your wisdom, guidance, and support. We pray that you will have every strength and resource you need to offer your gifts, that you will find grace in the face of daily pressures, and that students and colleagues will perceive your faith. May God bless these educators and staff, that they may model their lives on Jesus, who was the best teacher and friend. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of teaching. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you, and may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come. You may be seated. Now I invite all of our Christian educators within the congregation, so all of our volunteers as well as staff, anyone who teaches, whether it's the littlest little children or adult learners, if you're helping in the nursery, if you're assisting with children, youth, anything to help with the education of our church, we ask you to stand so that we can bless you as well. You share your time and gifts as you teach and care for our babies, our children, our youth, and our adults. As a congregation, we commit ourselves as learners, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will nourish and equip you for the responsibility of nurturing the faith of others. May God bless these teachers and helpers and volunteers, that their faith may grow and be strengthened as they seek to lead others to a deeper relationship with Jesus and a stronger faith in God. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of teaching. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come.
Thank you.
This is his sermon. Paul fell a little bit ill right before the service. He's in the building, but not at his best at the moment. We may see him later in the picnic. But these are his words, and I am just the mouthpiece. He did all the work this week, at least of this kind. Will you pray with me? God, we are ever grateful for your ever-present spirit and love. We open ourselves now to the surprises and the power of that spirit to move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are among the hundreds of millions of people acquainted with the world of Harry Potter, then you know about the Sorting Hat. It's the magical hat that's held above the head of each entering student of the fantastic school called Hogwarts. A child is called forward to sit in a chair facing the entire student body, and the hat is held above the child, above their head, and it can detect his or her qualities and character. And then the hat determines and declares for the whole student body which of the four houses of the school that student belongs in. Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
Hufflepuff? Gryffindor? Or Slytherin? Ravenclaw is for the especially studious and smart. Hufflepuff is for the loyal and good and kind. Gryffindor is for the brave. And Slytherin for the cunning and the ambitious. The hat announces which of those four you belong in, and for the rest of your years at school, those are the people that you will live with, you will hang out with, you will be on the same team with, etc. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I were on a studio tour in Hollywood, and we got to be in an official sort of Harry Potter place there with actual costumes from the movies and memorabilia and the Sorting Hat. And anyone could stand in line and wait to sit under the Sorting Hat. The person held the hat above their head and it announced which of the four houses they belonged in. Three of us sat under the Sorting Hat. Paul did not. He says it's because he already knows which house he's in. We all know it's just not the sort of thing Paul does. I can tell you that the Sorting Hat for the three of us who did do it was 0 and 3 in its accuracy. For one thing, I am a Ravenclaw, not a Hufflepuff. We are so fond of sorting, aren't we? It doesn't matter that we're lousy at it, it's just what we humans do. Our brains are wired for organizing things, for organizing people into patterns and groups. You belong here, you belong there. This group has these qualities. That group has these other qualities. These go here, those go there. In some ways, it's a useful talent for our species. But it's also the source of the most terrible misjudgments, disastrous mistakes, horrible bigotries, the worst atrocities we could imagine. And Christians have been as guilty as anyone at sorting human beings, making distinctions, treating some people much differently than others. This is crazy, given whose disciples we claim to be. Especially bizarre is that even in the earliest churches, when some people still remembered Jesus in the flesh, there were some who committed the most blatant acts of discrimination. The letter of James gives a horrified description of a church that made distinctions between people who had money and people who did not. A man walks into your gathering, James writes, wearing gold rings and fine clothes, and you say, "Have a seat here, please." And a poor man in dirty clothes walks in and you say, "Stand over there," or "Sit at my feet." James puts a question to these folks. When you show such favoritism, do you even believe in Jesus? It's hard to imagine that so blatant a violation of the way of Jesus could happen in those days. Jesus could not have been clearer on how the poor are to be treated, or how in God's community, the least are the greatest, and the greatest are the least. Besides, these Christians had the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, which says this: "You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great." How is it possible to have such plain teaching like that from the Bible and from Jesus, and then to still show the rich visitor to the best seat in the room and make the poor visitor keep standing or sit on the floor? No wonder James asks the question, "Do you even believe in Jesus?" Maybe the question surprised them. Of course they believe in Jesus. And they had no intention at all of discriminating against the poor. There just wasn't much extra room that day. And here came this person with clearly a lot to offer, and it's an honor to have him here. And we want to show him that he's welcome. And yes, the church budget could use what he has to give. And we do want to attract more people with more to share, right? We didn't mean to show partiality against the poor. We're not prejudiced. We were just so excited, and we had to make room, and you see how subtle it can be. Most of us believe or think we believe that all persons are equal and should be treated equally. And yet our behaviors in our big groups and some of our personal choices tell a different story. Consciously or not, the sorting has been done. This kind of person belongs here. That kind belongs there. This kind holds more value to me than that kind does. We would never speak in such terms, not usually, but the sorting has been done. It is inside us. We didn't do it on our own. Society at large has done the sorting. Long and terrible histories have done the sorting. And our own personal petty judgments over time have done plenty of the sorting. So let's put them in their place. Old people, young people, black people, brown people, white people, the middle class, the wealthy, the poor, the homeless, the straight, the queer, the educated, the uneducated, the conservative, the liberal. And you, have a seat here, please, here, close to me and my kind, and you, over there, down there, your place. Want to know something funny? Those Christians giving the best seats to the rich, they were actually poor people. When James is scolding them for privileging the rich, he says, "These are the very people who exploit you." This is a poor congregation, as most early Christians were poor, and they are showing partiality to the rich. Who knows why, but is it really so surprising? Oh, sit here, please. Let me bask in your light and feel better by association with someone of your stature. Come, have a better opinion of me, and kindly give us, if you will, some of what you have that we so desperately want. Could you sort me a little bit closer, please, to where you have been sorted to? So these who were poor had a weakness for the rich, and they were then, therefore, cruel to each other. And this, as you may know, is often at the root of human partiality and prejudice, that deep down, most of us see little value in ourselves. And knowing that we come up short, we envy some, and we despise others, and we turn our backs on many. In our scripture this morning, the Greek word for partiality means literally to look upward towards somebody, to set somebody above you, and by implication, to look down on others below. When that's what you do, says James, do you even believe in Jesus? And with that, the question begins to take a different meaning. Do you believe the good news brought by Jesus that your value as a child of God is immense? That whatever flaws you bear, whatever insufficiencies or failures or weaknesses or sins are part of your life, the measureless love of God treasures you, forgives you, releases you, honors you, and empowers and blesses you to the highest possible purpose. That is the place to which infinite love has assigned you. And in such place, there is no one above you to envy, and there is no one below you to judge or to disregard. Many of you know the name of Marian Anderson, a magnificent American singer with an astonishing voice of power and beauty. In 1939, her agent tried to book a concert at Constitution Hall, the largest venue in Washington, D.C. But it was owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution, the DAR, and they refused to let Marian Anderson sing there because she was black. Eleanor Roosevelt instantly resigned from the DAR. And her husband, the president, arranged for Marian Anderson to sing at the Lincoln Memorial. It was Easter Sunday night, and her voice was not confined to a hall, but was soaring to the open skies and over the 75,000 people who attended to hear her. Her opening song was "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." But she changed one line from "Of thee I sing" to "Of thee we sing." How terrible the world can be in telling people what their place must be. You sit here, you go there. How terribly we have all been part of it in our assumptions and bias and judgments against each other. And though to a far lesser degree, some of us have done it to ourselves as well. But hear the good news. Everybody's place is in the boundless love of God, a place as wide as the skies. Everybody's community is the family of all of God's children together, of the we sing. And to believe in the good news of Jesus, to believe in Jesus, is to regard everyone, including ourselves, no longer by the measure of our judgment, but by the beauty of Christ over all. The beauty of Christ is over us all, and among us all, and within us all. And so how can we help but respond with beauty of our own and gifts of our own? And so we give now with gladness.
Thank you.
love has found us, your grace has lifted us, and now we ask that you take these gifts and use our lives to show that love and grace to your world. In Jesus' name, amen. It is in that love that we extend to one another signs of peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.